Please open in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This morning I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Let's pray. Our Holy Father, we ask that you would be with us today as we give our attention to your word. Lord, fill this place with your Spirit. Fill our hearts with your Spirit. God, we pray you would anoint the preaching of your word as it goes forth. We pray, O God, that as we focus on, as we think about, as I speak about the most important thing, that you would stop Satan in his tracks. He does not want us to hear the most important thing, the gospel. And so, Lord, I pray you would sustain me, and you would sustain each one of us, guard our hearts as we attend to your word, and cause us to grow and trust in Jesus Christ more and more. We pray you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Well, we've said it multiple times, but we are new. A new congregation. It's a lot of work to get to this point. It was a beautiful evening on Friday night as God, in his good pleasure, constituted us as a new congregation for his kingdom, for his glory. But I have to be honest with you, there's a lot more work to be done still. As we continue to grow together, as God knits us together as one body to be used for the sake of his glory, there's a lot that we need to continue to learn about one another, a lot that we need to continue to learn about the community in which we live. We need to think about who we're going to be, what our identity is going to be, the kinds of things that we're going to do, the things that we're going to focus on, the ministries we're going to be engaged in, how we're going to interact with one another, how we're going to interact with the community around us in the midst of a pandemic, nonetheless. There's a lot of things that we still need to think about, a lot of things that we need to focus on, a lot of things we could be. But there's one thing that we must be. There's one thing that we must focus on, and it is the most important thing. And that is that we need to be a congregation founded on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be a congregation that is about preaching and living the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ among ourselves and among this community. It is the most important thing we can do in our own lives. It is the most important thing that we can be about as a church. And so my hope for you is that you, as you live the Christian life, will be focused on the most important thing. And that as we grow as a congregation, we will never lose sight of the most important thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so my call to you this morning is to always remember the gospel, the most important thing. Well, how do we know that the gospel is the most important thing? Well, that's pretty easy. We know it's the most important thing because God tells us it's the most important thing. Look at what Paul says in verses 1 through 3. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel The gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. The most important thing. Paul speaking as an apostle of God himself, someone who has been sent into the world by God himself, says that of all of the things that he has received from the Lord, all of the instruction that he has received by God himself, of all the things that Paul has communicated to the church, to the Corinthians, and of everything that he could communicate to the Corinthians and to the church, the most important thing is the gospel itself. Even the majestic and wonderful things that Paul would learn as he was caught up into the third heaven and was able to see the glory of God face to face, the utterance of which he had a hard time putting into words, even that does not eclipse the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if the gospel is the most important thing for God, if the gospel is the most important thing for Paul and it was what he was about, if it's the most important thing for the church, then it's the most important thing for you and me in our lives and in our congregation. And Paul describes for us what that gospel is in verses 3 and 4. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And everything was good. Everything was perfect. Everything was the way God had designed it to be. Man was created in God's image, in perfect knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. God was created to be in relationship with his Creator, created in peace and harmony and unity with him, had life and joy and blessedness with his Creator. And God entered into a covenant with our first parents, with Adam and Eve. We call it the covenant of life or the covenant of works. And it was a call to Adam and Eve to give worshipful obedience to the Lord. And God had given them everything in the entire world to enjoy. And they were to bless God for giving them everything. And only one thing they needed to do was render worshipful obedience to God by not eating from one tree. They had the whole world. They had God himself, and they just needed to stay away from one tree. And they would continue in their life and in enjoyment with God forever. But we know how the story goes. We know that the deceitfulness of Satan tricked Adam and Eve, that Adam took of the fruit and ate and sinned against God, and Adam and all mankind after Adam fell into an estate of sin and misery, that Adam and all mankind after him are now at enmity with God, are under his wrath and curse, that Adam and Eve and all mankind after them experience the miseries of this life, death itself, and are headed to the pains of hell forever. But the good news that Paul reminds us here when he says that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures is that God does not delight in the death of the wicked. He does not delight in the death of the wicked, but out of love he sent his own Son to live and die in the place of sinners, to experience the punishment that mankind brought upon himself for sinning against God. Jesus takes that upon himself on the cross, becomes their wrath-bearing sacrifice for the people of God, so that they might not die, but that they would live. Those who trust in Jesus would have forgiveness and peace with God once again, and they will not perish in hell forever. This is what Jesus has accomplished by his death. This is the most important thing, Paul says. But it's not all there is of the most important thing. Jesus didn't remain dead, but he was raised on the third day. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, declaring that he truly is the Son of God with power, declaring that his sacrificial work was accepted by the Father, declaring that he actually can and does save sinners who trust in his name, and declaring that he gives everlasting life to all of those who rely upon him. This is the most important thing: the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says that it is according to the Scriptures. And what we're to take from that, what we're to learn from that, what Paul means by that, is that this most important thing, this gospel, was not a last-minute idea on God's part. It's not as if God had one plan and he was running with it and then he saw everything just go sideways for him when people started rejecting Jesus and put him to death. He was like, oh no, now what do I do? Well, maybe I can turn that bad thing into something good and save people from it. It wasn't a last-minute idea on God's part. It wasn't a surprise to God. It wasn't a change in plan, as if God had one way of salvation in the Old Testament and then he came up with something completely different in the New Testament. No, the gospel was God's plan all along. And the reason that the gospel that Paul expresses here is according to the Scriptures is because God, before the foundation of the world, he purposed and committed to save and rescue a fallen and sinful people for himself through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so from the very beginning of Scripture, we see God's purpose and promise expressed right at the very beginning. Right after Adam and Eve fell into sin, we see God step in and give them hope. We see God step in and give them the gospel. When God is cursing the serpent, he preaches the gospel to Adam and Eve. And he points out that one will come as a descendant of Eve who will crush the head of the serpent, and yet in so doing, he will be wounded. And then after that promise of the gospel, of the fact that this one would come and upend the work of the evil one, they would crush the work of the evil one and restore what God had established, God covers the sinfulness and the shame and nakedness of his people by slaughtering animals and clothing Adam and Eve with their skin, covering up their nakedness and shame, giving them clothing to wear. And then we see God providing a substitute sacrifice for Isaac. When Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, God gave a sacrifice, identifying that a sacrifice would come on behalf of God's people. And then we see Exodus, God delivering his people from the curse and from the punishment of death that would be on the Egyptians by them slaughtering a lamb and putting the blood over the home. And they were delivered from death. And then we see Leviticus and how the sacrificial system was instituted, pointing the people of God to see that atonement must be made for their sins, and a substitute atonement can be made for their sins so that they don't have to die, but something or someone else will die in their place. And then we hear from the prophet Isaiah, who speaks of that someone, that suffering servant, the one who was to come, the one who would be pierced for our transgressions, who would be crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace would be upon him, and by his wounds we would be healed, but he would be put to death for us. And then that suffering servant steps on the scene in the Lord Jesus Christ, declared to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That Lamb of God who suffered and died on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins, dying for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. It's God's plan from the very beginning that Jesus Christ would come and die. It is the most important thing. And though he was dead and buried, and though the serpent had inflicted that fatal wound on the son of the woman, though Christ was foreshadowed in the life of Jonah, who was cast into an unsurvivable situation, though he was cast into an unsurvivable situation in the sea, and though it pleased the Lord to crush the suffering servant, and Psalm 16 says, the soul of God's Holy One was to be in the grave. We're also told by the psalmist that that Holy One of God would not see corruption in the grave. But like Jonah, who spent those 3 days in the belly of the great fish and then returned to the land of the living, so Jesus, after making satisfaction for our sins, was raised on the third day in fulfillment of the Scriptures, in accordance with the Scriptures. This gospel, this most important thing, has been the plan of God from the beginning. It's not a novel idea that will come and go. It's not a folk religion that will someday pass into myth. But it is the good news of salvation that will be just as necessary and important tomorrow as it is today. Just as it was when Adam and Eve first heard it in the garden in the cool of the day when they hid themselves from the Lord. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important thing, and it is the same today, yesterday, and it will be the same tomorrow. This gospel, this most important thing, is what our church needs to remember. It is what you and I need to remember. And this is what Paul wants to remind the Corinthians of as well. Look at verse 1. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. He wants to remind them of the truth. The fact that he's reminding them means that he's told them this already. And of course he would have told them this already. He says it's the first of first importance. It's the most important thing. So it's going to be the first thing that he tells them. And Paul identifies this gospel as the most important thing because it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. That's what God commissioned Paul to go into the world to do. And now after Paul has written to the Corinthians about everything they're supposed to do as a church, everything they're supposed to be as the people of God, how to live for God, how to overcome sin and temptation, how to live for His glory, he goes back and he wants to remind them of the most important thing, of the gospel. Because it's the gospel that makes everything possible. It's the gospel that transforms their lives in the first place. It's the gospel that grants them the power to be who God calls them to be. It gives them salvation. It changes their life. Everything Paul has been talking to them about. He wants to remind them of the gospel here because he doesn't want them to lose sight of what it is that truly grants them hope. And as we think about the Christian life and all of the things that God has called us to be and called us to do, to live our lives for him, to put to death sin, to live unto righteousness, it's really easy to begin thinking of those things as works that we have to accomplish, the things that we carry out in our own strength, but we need to remember the gospel, that it is the gospel that transformed us in the first place. And everything we do flows from that free grace that we receive from God and the strength that He provides. He wants to remind them of the gospel because it grants them hope. Hope to see change, hope to see victory, hope to see progress in the Christian life. And hope particularly in relationship to the resurrection of the dead, which this chapter goes on to talk about. A hope for them in death. And Paul reminds them that this hope of the gospel is the foundation of who they are. And friends, it's the foundation of who we are as well. The hope of the gospel is the foundation of who we are. I mean, it's the foundation of our name. We're Hope Community Church because the gospel is the foundation of who we are. Now, names are important. They describe things. They identify things. They assign value to things. And sometimes we use them to express our expectation about things, don't we? As many of you know, Danielle and I are expecting our child to be born in April, and we've already been thinking about names for that child. It's fun to think about. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet, but we've been thinking about names. But I have to tell you, if it's a boy, that name has already been settled by our son Samuel. He's got it figured out already. He's putting all the stock in this name. And he's going with Skipper T-Rex Gregory. Skipper T-Rex Gregory. The T, of course, standing for Tiberius, right? So you Star Trek fans will understand that. You'll appreciate that. But Skipper T-Rex Gregory, it's a good name. It really is a good name if you think about it, because Samuel is expressing his hopes and expectations for what his little sibling will be. Skipper, of course, you all know, is the leader of the elite squad of penguins from the Penguins of Madagascar, right? He is the leader of that squad. And so he wants his sibling to be a leader, someone who will lead the charge in this world. T-Rex, of course, is the greatest of all dinosaurs, the king of the dinosaurs. He's powerful. He's strong. He wants his younger brother to be powerful and strong, a good leader. And who doesn't like James T. Kirk, right? We want him to be like James T. Kirk. But Samuel is expressing his expectation for who and what he wants his sibling to be. And that's what we're doing with our name, Hope. Hope Community. We're expressing an expectation that we will be a community of hope. And friends, we have every expectation that we will be a community of hope. Because we already are a community of hope because of the gospel. Friends, you have hope because the gospel has saved you from the penalty of sin. Because you have been justified by faith, you have peace with God. And there is nothing you can do to revoke that status before Him. And I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. Because when I experience the continually indwelling sin in my life, and I continue to sin every day in thought, word, and deed, to think about the fact that God has erased my sin, that He's taken it away, that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for it, and I will never be cast out of His presence. What else could give me hope? What a wonderful thing. We're a people of hope. Because God has saved us from the penalty of sin. But we're also a people of hope because God is saving us from the power of sin. This gets behind the idea about being saved, as Paul describes in verse 2. You are being saved. The Holy Spirit is saving us from the power of sin in our lives. That same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now dwells in you. The dominion that sin and Satan had in your life has been broken. And through a life of repentance and faith in Jesus, you can be changed. You can grow in holiness and in sanctification. And Jesus Christ will finish that work that He has begun in you. You are being saved from the power of sin in your life. You are people of hope. And you are a people of hope because the gospel will save you from the presence of sin. Paul says that it's because of the gospel in Colossians that we have Jesus in us, the hope of glory. A day is coming when the temptation of sin will be felt no more, and the lies of the evil one will be heard no more. No longer will you have to struggle against your flesh. No longer will you have to struggle against the temptations of this world, the lies of the evil one. You will be freed of them. And you will have rest. Again, I don't know about you, but that gives me hope that a day will come when all I will ever do is walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord and walk in righteousness always, never to fall and never to sin again. Jesus, come quickly. Free me from this body of death. But we will be set free from the presence of sin in our lives. And you can approach the grave with confidence, knowing that Jesus has secured all of this for you. We are a community of hope because of the gospel and of the gospel alone. And this is the hope that we have to offer to the community around us. Right now, the people living in the world all around us, in the community around us, are those whom the Bible describes, that Ephesians 2 describes as a people who are without hope and without God in the world. They are currently living with the pain and sadness and misery and emptiness and fear as those who live with enmity toward their Creator and toward one another. And God has called us to take hope to them. To declare that God in Christ is reconciling the world to Himself. That though they have, like sheep, gone astray, turned each one to their own way, and the shepherd of this world has abused them and tormented them and caused them to do things that they never, ever would have wanted to do if they remained in a relationship with God. We can take the message of peace and hope to them, and the great shepherd of the sheep will call them back to himself and be the shepherd of their souls. They can have hope and salvation and peace. They can be a people of hope. Though they live currently in malice and envy, hateful of God and hating one another, the gospel can transform them and give them purpose, that they may become God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And of all the things that we could offer this world around us, the gospel is the most needed thing. The gospel is the most important thing, because it's only through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that people are saved and that people are changed. People are given hope through the gospel. We have hope in the gospel. And so, friends, this is where Satan's going to attack. He's going to attack us on this point. It may not be a doctrinal attack. This denomination's pretty good in our head knowledge and in our theology. But he'll try to get us to lose sight of the gospel in our lives. To lose sight of Jesus Christ and who he is to be in our lives and as a church. To get us so busy. To get us so distracted by doing other things, even good things, that we forget the most important thing that we're supposed to be about. And if he can do that, then there goes the hope. We'll begin to doubt that God is good. We'll begin to doubt his mercy toward us, the forgiveness of the sins that he has offered and given to us. We'll begin to doubt that he can actually change us and sanctify us, and even wants to change us and sanctify us. And we'll begin to doubt that we'll ever see his face in glory. We'll forget those things. That's what Satan wants to do. But we must not lose sight of the gospel. Because as that great Christian hymn says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Friday night, we stood together and we made a covenant. We vowed together to live our lives and commit ourselves to the glory of Jesus Christ and to his gospel. And then I stood before you and vowed to God in your presence that I would do nothing but preach the gospel of Jesus Christ from this pulpit. And by the grace and strength of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, we can do that. And we will not lose sight of the most important thing. But we need to plead with him that we would not lose sight of it. That we would always remember the gospel. Because it is our life, it is our salvation, it is the only hope we can offer to our own doubting souls and to the community around us. Life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The gospel, the most important thing. Let's not forget it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, O God. Help us not to forget who you are and what you have done. Sear on our minds and hearts the truth of the gospel. That Christ Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried, and on the third day he rose in fulfillment in accordance with the scriptures, and by that we are saved. Fill our hearts with hope in your promise, in your steadfastness, in your faithfulness, and be all the strength and help that we need. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.